Hey there, puzzle lovers and problem solvers out there. Welcome back to another deep dive with us. Today we're tackling a brain teaser that's, well, incredibly frustrating, but also oddly satisfying. You know the one, the Rubik's Cube?
Oh, yeah. The one that's tempted all of us with the promise of order, only to leave us in a jumbled mess more often than not.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been a puzzle captivating imaginations worldwide ever since Erner Rubik invented it back in the 1974.
74.
It's simple to understand, yet incredibly complex to master, and that's part of its enduring appeal.
You know, what's funny is we actually got a listener question, or a listener suggestion, I should say, about this one. Someone sent in a solution guide to help crack the code of the Rubik's Cube, and that's exactly what we're going to do today.
Awesome.
We're going deeper than just memorizing steps, though. We're going to explore the underlying logic, the patterns, and the strategies that make the Rubik's Cube such a fascinating challenge.
Absolutely. And who knows, maybe we can even apply some of that problem-solving magic to our own lives and communities.
I love that.
Yeah, there's a lot we can learn from this seemingly simple toy. But first, let's break down what we're actually dealing with here.
Okay, so imagine you're holding a Rubik's Cube in your hand. What are the key components we're looking at here?
Well, you've got the six faces each with nine colorful stickers.
Right.
But the real magic lies in the three types of pieces: the center pieces, the edge pieces, and the corner pieces.
Okay.
Now, here's something that might surprise you.
Okay.
Those center pieces are actually fixed.
Really?
They determine the color of that face and never move relative to each other.
Wow. I always thought all of those moved around. That explains a lot of my failed attempts.
Yeah, it's a common misconception.
Okay.
Now, the edge pieces with their two colors sit between the center pieces. And finally, you have the corner pieces, each sporting three colors tucked neatly in the corners.
So it's like a 3D jigsaw puzzle.
Exactly.
With a hidden set of rules.
Exactly. And those rules govern how these pieces can move.
Okay.
Each face can be rotated 90 degrees, either clockwise or counterclockwise.
Right.
And with those simple moves, you can create over 43 quintillion different combinations.
43 quintillion. Okay, that number is officially mind-boggling. No wonder it feels like I'm trying to solve a cosmic mystery every time I pick up a Rubik's Cube.
It's a lot to take in,
yeah.
But that's where the solution guide comes in, right?
Right.
It breaks down the solution into manageable stages.
That's right. And the first stage, the guide talks about creating what's called the white cross, which I'm guessing involves those white edge pieces.
It's about getting all those white edge pieces surrounding the white centerpiece.
Okay.
And this is where we start to see those problem-solving skills come into play.
Yeah.
You have to analyze the current state of your cube, visualize the moves needed, and execute them in a precise order.
It's like creating a plan of attack.
Mm-hmm.
And it already feels like we're tapping into some think and act locally principles here.
Absolutely. Breaking down a complex challenge into smaller achievable steps is a valuable skill, whether you're tackling a scrambled cube or a community issue.
You know, it reminds me of those times when we see a problem in our community and we feel overwhelmed.
Right.
Like, where do we even begin? This white cross stage is like saying, okay, let's focus on this one specific aspect first.
Exactly. Let's say you're concerned about the lack of green spaces in your neighborhood.
Okay.
Instead of getting bogged down by the enormity of the issue, you could start by identifying a small unused plot of land.
Right.
Then rally some neighbors, gather some resources, maybe even partner with a local organization, and focus your energy on transforming that one space.
It's like building momentum layer by layer, just like with the Rubik's Cube.
Exactly.
And speaking of layers, the guide then talks about solving the first layer.
Right. Once you have that white cross, you start fitting the white corner pieces into their correct spots, completing the first layer.
And this is where those algorithms come in.
Yes.
Those specific sequences of moves that achieve a desired outcome.
Precisely. And it's important to note that there are multiple algorithms for each stage of solving the cube. It's about finding the ones that work best for you, the ones that feel most intuitive.
It's like having a toolkit of problem-solving strategies.
Mm-hmm.
And you can choose the right tool for the job, whether it's a Rubik's Cube challenge or a real-world problem.
It's about being adaptable and recognizing that there's rarely just one right way to solve something.
That's a powerful reminder, especially for our think and act locally mindset.
Yeah.
There's so many different ways to approach a community issue.
Right.
What works in one neighborhood might not work in another.
Exactly.
And it's about finding those creative solutions that fit the specific context.
It's about being open to trying different approaches, learning from what works and what doesn't, and constantly refining your strategy.
And, you know, if you're finding value in these insights and the Think and Act Locally perspective, we encourage you to support our mission. You can visit thinkandactlocally.com/donate to help us keep these conversations going. The link is in the show notes.
Every contribution makes a difference.
Okay, so we've got the white cross and the first layer down. What's next on our Rubik's Cube adventure?
The guide then moves on to the second layer.
Okay.
Things start to get a bit more intricate.
Bring on the challenge. Tell us more about this second layer.
All right, so
yeah.
Welcome back to our deep dive into the fascinating world of the Rubik's Cube.
Last time we talked about, the satisfaction of those early wins, you know, getting that white cross and solving the first layer.
Right.
We even started to see some parallels with tackling challenges in our communities.
Absolutely.
You know, breaking things down step by step.
Mm-hmm.
But the second layer, you say, it gets more intricate.
It does. We're no longer just working with the white face.
Right.
Now we need to start thinking about how to position those edge pieces on the middle layer, matching them up with their corresponding center colors.
So the spatial reasoning ramps up a notch.
Absolutely. You have to visualize how moves on one face affect the positions of pieces on other faces.
Mm.
It's like a 3D chess game.
Oh, wow.
Where every move has cascading consequences.
That sounds challenging, to say the least. Does the guide offer any strategies for navigating this second layer puzzle?
It does. There's a technique called the F2L method, which stands for first two layers.
Okay.
It's more advanced, but incredibly efficient.
F2L. That sounds pretty intense. Could you walk us through what that means and how it works?
Sure. Instead of solving the first and second layers separately, F2L involves pairing up a corner piece and an edge piece.
Okay.
And slotting them into their correct positions simultaneously.
Gotcha.
It requires a bit more spatial awareness and understanding of how pieces move in relation to each other.
Right.
But it can significantly speed up the solving process.
So it's like learning a new, more strategic dance move on the Rubik's Cube.
Exactly. And, you know, this idea of finding more efficient solutions reminds me of how we approach community initiatives.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes the most obvious solutions aren't always the most effective. It might take a bit more effort up front to research different approaches, collaborate with others, and find innovative solutions, but the long-term impact can be much greater.
It's like investing in that community F2L method, putting in the extra effort to find a solution that's both impactful and sustainable.
Precisely. Think about something like improving public transportation in your city.
Okay.
Instead of just advocating for more buses, what if you explored ride-sharing programs, bike lanes, or even pedestrian-friendly urban design?
Mm-hmm.
These solutions might require more collaboration and planning up front.
Right.
But they could create a more holistic and sustainable transportation system.
It's about thinking beyond the immediate problem and envisioning a more interconnected solution.
Mm.
Just like with those F2L moves on the Rubik's Cube.
Mm-hmm.
It's inspiring to see how these seemingly abstract puzzle-solving techniques can have real-world applications.
Absolutely. And speaking of inspiring actions, if you're finding value in these insights and our Think and Act Locally mission, we encourage you to support us.
Yeah.
You can visit thinkandactlocally.com/donate. The link is in the show notes to help us keep these conversations going and empower more people to make a difference in their communities.
Thanks for that reminder.
All right.
Now we've conquered the first two layers, which already feels like a major accomplishment.
Yeah, for sure.
What's next in our quest to solve this cube?
Well, now we turn our attention to the final frontier.
Okay.
The last layer.
Cool.
And the guide breaks this stage down into two main steps. OLL and PLL.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Break those acronyms down for me. What do OLL and PLL stand for in the Rubik's Cube world?
OLL stands for orienting the last layer.
Okay.
This is where you get all the pieces on the top layer facing the right way, even if they're not in the correct position yet.
So it's like getting all your ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're not quite in formation yet.
Yeah.
You're setting things up for that final triumphant moment.
A perfect analogy. And PLL stands for permuting the last layer, which is all about moving those correctly oriented pieces into their final positions without messing up their orientation. It's the home stretch, the final push to achieve that perfectly solved cube.
I can already sense the feeling of accomplishment.
A good feeling.
But before we get ahead of ourselves, what are some of the key strategies or insights from these final stages? And how can we connect those to our Think and Act Locally mindset?
Well, both OLL and PLL often involve recognizing specific patterns on the cube and executing precise algorithms to manipulate those patterns. It's about developing a keen eye for detail and understanding how seemingly small adjustments can have a big impact on the overall outcome.
Right.
And, you know, that reminds me of how we approach community challenges.
Yeah.
It's not always about grand gestures, but about those thoughtful, targeted actions that address the root causes of a problem.
It's about understanding the intricacies of the system.
Right.
Those connections and patterns that might not be immediately apparent, just like with OLL and PLL. It's about taking the time to really observe, analyze, and then act with precision.
Exactly. Let's say you're trying to improve access to healthy food in a food desert.
Yeah.
Simply opening a grocery store might not be enough.
Right.
You might need to address issues of transportation, affordability, and even community education about nutrition. It's about seeing the bigger picture and understanding how those different pieces fit together.
It's about solving for the whole system, not just one isolated part of it. And I imagine that sense of interconnectedness is a key takeaway from mastering the Rubik's Cube.
Absolutely. The Rubik's Cube teaches us that even the most complex challenges can be overcome with patience, persistence, and a willingness to look beyond the surface.
And you know, it's fascinating how this puzzle, which can be quite solitary when you're actually solving it,
right,
has also become a catalyst for community and connection. I've seen those Rubik's Cube competitions where people from all walks of life come together, sharing their passion and skills.
It's a great reminder that even in the digital age, we crave those real-world connections, those shared experiences that bring us together. And just like with the Rubik's Cube, when we approach community challenges with a collaborative spirit, sharing our knowledge and skills, we can achieve incredible things.
It's about tapping into that collective wisdom, that diverse set of perspectives that can help us see problems from new angles and find solutions that work for everyone.
And you know, those connections, those shared moments of problem solving and celebration are what make our communities thrive. It's about building those bridges, one twist of the cube at a time, and celebrating the journey together.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive, everybody. We've journeyed through the layers of the Rubik's Cube, explored its intricate mechanics. We even uncovered some of its surprising connections to things like math, computer science, and art.
Right.
But now in this final part, I kind of want to delve into something a bit deeper.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could say the more philosophical side of this captivating puzzle.
It's fascinating how this seemingly simple toy can offer so many profound insights. The Rubik's Cube isn't just a test of dexterity or problem solving. It's a reflection of the human mind itself.
Oh, wow.
A microcosm of the challenges and triumphs we experience in life.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Tell me more about this mind-cube connection.
Think about that moment when you first pick up a scrambled Rubik's Cube.
Okay.
It can feel chaotic, overwhelming, even a bit daunting.
Right.
Doesn't that mirror those times in our lives when we're faced with a complex problem or a situation that feels beyond our control?
Absolutely. Those moments where you feel like you're juggling a million things and everything's in a jumbled mess, just like a scrambled cube.
Exactly. But here's the thing. With the Rubik's Cube, as with life, there's an underlying order, a structure beneath the apparent chaos.
Right.
And by understanding that structure, by breaking down the problem into smaller steps, we can start to regain a sense of control.
It's like that aha moment when you realize there's a method to the madness, that you don't have to solve everything at once.
Precisely. And that's where those algorithms come in. Those step-by-step guides that lead us towards a solution, they teach us patience, perseverance.
Right.
And the importance of focusing on one move, one layer at a time.
It's almost like a mindfulness exercise.
Yeah.
Bringing your full attention to the present moment, to that one twist of the cube.
It is. And just like with meditation, the Rubik's Cube can help us cultivate a sense of calm and focus amidst the chaos.
I like that.
It teaches us to embrace the process, to find joy in the journey, even when we encounter setbacks.
Because those setbacks, those moments when you think you've almost solved it.
Right.
Only to realize you've messed up a previous layer.
Yeah.
Those are part of the learning process too, right?
Absolutely. The Rubik's Cube doesn't punish mistakes.
Right.
It invites us to learn from them.
Okay.
It teaches us to analyze what went wrong, adjust our approach, and try again.
Right.
And isn't that a valuable lesson for life in general?
It is. It's about developing that resilience.
Yeah.
That ability to bounce back from challenges and keep striving towards our goals.
Hmm.
And, you know, it strikes me that this idea of embracing challenges, of finding order amidst chaos, is deeply connected to the think and act locally philosophy.
I couldn't agree more. When we look at the problems facing our communities, whether it's environmental issues, social inequalities, or economic disparities, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But the Rubik's Cube reminds us that even the most complex challenges can be tackled if we break them down into smaller, more manageable steps.
It's about shifting our perspective from feeling powerless to feeling empowered.
Right.
To realizing that our individual actions, no matter how small they may seem, can contribute to a larger solution.
Exactly. And just like with the Rubik's Cube, it's not about having all the answers right away.
Yeah.
It's about being willing to experiment, to collaborate with others,
right,
to learn from our mistakes and to celebrate those small victories along the way.
It's about embracing that journey of continuous improvement,
mm-hmm,
of constantly seeking new ways to make our communities better, brighter, and more just.
And, you know, that sense of shared purpose,
right,
of working together towards a common goal is one of the most rewarding aspects of community engagement.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that we're all interconnected, that our individual well-being is tied to the well-being of our community.
That's like those Rubik's Cube competitions where people from all backgrounds and skill levels come together not just to compete, but to share their knowledge, to encourage each other, and to celebrate the joy of problem solving.
It's a beautiful metaphor for what we can achieve when we bring that same spirit of collaboration and shared purpose to our communities.
And if you, dear listeners, are feeling inspired to apply these Rubik's Cube lessons to your own lives and communities, we encourage you to support our mission.
Yeah.
You can visit thinkandactlocally.com/donate. The link is in the show notes. Every contribution helps us keep these conversations going and empower more people to make a difference.
Now, as we reach the end of our Rubik's Cube exploration, I want to leave you with this final thought. Imagine that perfectly solved cube, all the colors aligned in harmonious order.
Okay.
It's a beautiful sight, a moment of completion. But what if we then took just one twist, shifted just one piece?
It would disrupt that perfect order, wouldn't it?
It would. But that disruption, that slight imbalance, can be the starting point for a whole new challenge, a whole new exploration. It's a reminder that even when we achieve our goals, there's always more to learn, more to discover, more to create.
So it's not about clinging to that static state of perfection, but about embracing the dynamism, the ever-evolving nature of life itself.
Precisely. And in our communities, that means never becoming complacent,
right?
Never settling for the status quo.
Yeah.
There's always room for improvement, always new ways to connect, to contribute, to make things better.
It's about seeing every challenge, every disruption as an opportunity for growth and innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And just like with the Rubik's Cube, the journey is just as important as the destination.
Well said. We hope you've enjoyed this deep dive into the world of the Rubik's Cube. May it inspire you to embrace challenges, seek solutions, and think and act locally to make a positive impact on your community and the world around you.
Thanks for listening.